And this morning, my title is Every Member is a Minister.
Ooh.
Now, in order for this to work, you guys got to have a pulse and make some noise, because we're in church and we're allowed to make a little bit of noise every now and then. So we need to make sure everyone's awake. So is everyone awake this morning? TC boys are here. Good. What about over here? Anybody awake over here this morning? One, two, three. Yeah, y'all drank decaf this morning, I can tell. Okay. All right. What about over here? Narcisse, you awake, brother? What's here? Yep. Well, that's yeah, he's alive. Anyone awake over here? Maxine, she's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Praise God. Amen. Well, it's exciting to come to a church where there's life, amen. And it's exciting to come to a church, you know, to see people working. And this morning, when we got here and looking around and seeing all the ushers and the greeters and all the staff and stuff, it's such a blessing to see people who are involved here in the church, you know. Just curiosity here, how many people are on the helps team in this church right now? Let's see your hand. Just raise your hand. If you're here at Faith City Church, you're on the helps team, you serve in some sort of capacity, anything. Any type of capacity. Let's see those hands. See those hands. There's people that's sitting in this room that haven't got their hands up, and I know they help out. All right. Good. Well, you see, we can't do it without you. And the thing is that you're just not a janitor. You're just not a cleaner. You know, you're just not an usher. You're just not a greeter. You're just not those things. But you're actually a minister for Jesus. Are you listening to me this morning? Now, our text this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 16, New Living Translation is where we're going to look. And I'm going to give you lots of scripture. And, I'm a little excited about this because I got 7 pages of notes. I don't think in Bible school I ever wrote 7 pages of notes. And so I'm a little excited about this. I think I got into the groove, and so we'll see where we're going to go. But I really got blessed by doing this and studying some certain things out and whatnot, and so, let's see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. You make it over there, New Living Translation? He said, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You see, each and every one of us, we have a special part to play. Now, we all have a body. If you're sitting here this morning, you have a body. Woo! You did it. Okay, great. You know what else is amazing? You got it out of bed this morning. Woo! And make it that much better, you got it dressed and cleaned up and all pretty looking. Amen? Good job there. Woo! So we all have a body. Now, our body is made up of different components. We got fingers, we got hands, feet, arms, eyes, you know, nervous system, all types of things on the inside that we can't see, but, you know, you take a picture with an x-ray or ultrasound machine, see all those special things in there. Funny story, when I was a kid, I was playing football, and I got a concussion, so they brought me to the hospital. My mom was there with me, and they done an x-ray of my head. And when I was on the machine, I said, Mom, can you see anything? She said, nope, not a thing. I was like, thanks, Mom. So, you know, if you wonder about me sometimes, maybe that's why. But anyhow, there are supposed to be organs on the inside, and they all play a different part. Amen? They all got something that they're supposed to be doing. Now, every believer in the body of Christ has a job to do in the kingdom of God as well as the local church. So as of, you know, you think about all the different parts of our body and all the different things that, you know, is in there, they all serve a specific purpose. So that they can create the body as a whole, so that we can do what needs to be done, okay? So what happens if one day your nose decides, I don't want to be a nose anymore. You know, I want to be a toe. Well, you're going to be smelling all types of nasty things all day long, I guarantee it, you know? Or you stick a big old toe in the middle of your face, you know? You're like, it don't really work that way. You know, an eye, I don't want to be an eye anymore, I want to be a hand. Well, that's not going to work now, is it? And you see, in the body, we all have a specific job to do. Now, we're going to continue on looking at this. All throughout Scripture, we see believers following the call of God that was placed on them. And we see people being used in all different capacities, doing different things. But all, you know, being used in different capacities, doing different things, but ultimately working towards a common goal to fulfill God's plans, purposes here on the earth. And our text that was up there, you can leave that up there, Pastor Dave. I'm going to be referring back to that quite often. In our text found in Ephesians chapter 4, 16, we see Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus with a purpose to strengthen them in their faith and explaining to them that their purpose, or what their purpose is as a church, and being a part of the local body of Christ, being a part of the body of Christ. You see, it's not by mistake or by accident that you're at Faith City Church. It's not a mistake that, you know, you're a part of this fellowship, you're a part of this family. God has a specific plan and a purpose for each and every one of us to follow and go through and do. He designed us to be ministers. Are you listening to me this morning? And so we have a role to play in this kingdom business. Now, you look at the body of Christ as a whole, it's huge. You know, there's billions of Christians. There really are. All across this world. And each person has a job. Now, here in the local church, it's the same thing. We'll just condense it down a little bit. But in the local church, we all have specific jobs that we do. Everybody has a calling of some sort to do something. But not everybody has the same calling. Okay? See, we got the camera guy that should be a radio announcer. That's funny. Let's take a better look at our text here. We're going to break this scripture verse down, okay? First part I want you to look at is he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. God has designed each and every one of us with a divine purpose that God himself planned for. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalms 139, verses 13 to 18 in the New Living. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O Lord? You cannot be numbered. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." God seen us before we were born. You know, it's so precious to see those little ones up here this morning. And you know that God has such a plan and a purpose for them. Even right now. You know, right now their main job is to eat, sleep, cry, poop. Okay? I know there's a lot of adults, actually, and they still tend to do those things. But, you know, some of you got that awkward look on your faces. You know it's true. Okay? But, yeah. But, you see, those babies, those precious little ones, even before they got let out of baby jail for 9 months, okay, God was working on them, putting them together, and every day of their life has already been recorded. God already knows their plans and the purposes and what they're going to do because he loves us. And it says there in Scripture that the thoughts that God has for us outnumbers the grain of sand. Okay, anyone ever been to a desert or a sandy beach? You ever try counting the grains of sand? Once I outrun fingers and toes, I'm done. You know, I'm done, you know. Yeah, I'm from Newfoundland, and so there's lots of beaches, and there's lots of sand around there in places, man. And when you think about the thoughts that the Lord has about us, each and every one of us outnumber. Man, this guy, he thinks about us. He cares for us. And he has a plan for each and every one of us. That is so cool. God created us with a purpose. Verse 16 says there, it says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed." Wow. So first of all, you're not a mistake. And God hasn't forgotten you. You are God's handiwork designed for his purpose. And that purpose is to work within the body in the place that God has intended you to be. You are very important to the body of Christ. You are very important to the church. You know what our responsibility is to this? Is to act according to what God has done for us. You see, our reaction needs to be to God's action. God designed us. God loved us. God has a plan for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Come on now. He set us free. He done all those things for us. You know? You see, we are just not called to sit on the bench. We are just not called to be bench warmers. We are called to get in the game and do something. We are called to be ministers. And that's not always the easiest thing when you think about it. That means there's going to have to be some sacrifice. There's going to have to be some things that you're going to have to do that is going to get you out of your comfort zone, you know? But then you realize is that once you get involved in ministry and doing different things like that and helping out the local church and helping people out, you realize that it actually becomes normal to be uncomfortable. I'm serious. Because you'll be stretched and you'll learn and you develop and you see the different things that you're capable of doing. You didn't know what was on the inside of you. We've been here, I guess this is 9 years this year, going on 9 years that we've been here at Faith City Church. And I've seen a lot of growth in me and I've seen a lot of growth in other people. You see people, and I'm just not talking girth. But I'm talking, well, some of you girth. Maybe not. Height, some people. Some of our teenagers, well, they were kids and now they're teenagers. Now I'm looking up at them. I don't know how that happens. There's something in the water. But you see, I've seen growth take place and people change and people grow. As they develop and they spend more time with God, walking with God and following the plans and the purpose, it's amazing what happens to your life. You see, you start to develop more. And you start to see things differently. You start to see that God has a big plan for each and every one of us. And the further you go in that plan, well, the more blessings that come towards you and the more increase that takes place in your life. And my goodness, it just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Like, it's pretty awesome. You know, they say the sky's the limit, but we can't even put a limit on that because we're dealing with the things of the Lord. We have been designed with such a great purpose. Look at Moses for a second. He was born as a Hebrew, hidden, put in a basket, placed in the Nile River by his own mother. Now, you got to understand something. You know what's in the Nile River? Crocodiles. You know what they like to eat? Babies in baskets. Okay? You know, it's like, oh, look, it's a bucket of chicken floating down the river, you know, type thing, you know? But God had such a specific plan and a specific purpose. See, everyone just thinks, okay, you laid him in the Nile River. You don't realize on how crazy the Nile River really is, okay? There's gators in there. Anyone ever seen a live gator? They're really not smiling, okay? They really don't like you, all right? They got that look on their face because they want to eat you, okay? They want a big piece of whatever you are, you know, deep fried or not. They'll eat it. And so you just think about that. That's a little miracle in itself right there that Moses was, as a baby, was in a basket. Now, first of all, too, I haven't seen too many baskets waterproof. Like, and they didn't have those Rubbermaid containers that you get at Walmart back in the day where you can put the baby in and, like, you know, wrap them all up and put the cover on and tape it all up and it's waterproof. I'm not saying do this. But, you know, they managed to make a basket and put them in the Nile River. And guess who found baby Moses? The very people that were trying to kill him. And he ended up going from being in a slave home to going into royalty and going into the palace with Pharaoh and raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised as one of Pharaoh's own. But you know what's really cool about this is that God had his hand upon Moses way, way back when he was a baby, dodging those alligators, playing the ultimate game of Frogger. Okay? And now, here he is, and he's in line to be a ruler of Egypt. But you know what happened? God got a hold of him through a bunch of different scenarios and situations, what took place. And that he was able to connect with God and find out that he had a much larger purpose than just survive the gator attacks. But he was to actually change the whole history of an entire human race of people, a whole community of people, the Hebrews. He saved them because he was obedient and he didn't limit God. Now that's a minister right there when you think about that. You think about the changes and the things that happened in his life. He actually went from being stuck in a basket to going to the palace to actually being kicked out in the desert and then coming back and rescuing a full people. Come on now. See, now that's exciting when you think about when you allow God, when you start following the purpose, because God has each and every one of us ordained as ministers. Now not everyone is supposed to be up on the platform preaching. Not everyone can sing, okay? Well, everyone can sing, not everyone should record. Scripture does say make a joyful noise, and there's a lot of joyful noises going on sometimes, okay? But not everybody is good at finances. Not everybody is, you know, good at children or good usher or good whatever. But everybody is good at something. And we've all been given a gift. We've all been given the abilities to do different things. Are you listening to me this morning? And so we need to tap into that. We need to see what we are supposed to be doing. Second part of this verse I want to look at, it says, as each part does its own special work. Not everybody has the same job, but everybody does have a job in the kingdom of God. And like I was saying now, not everyone's called to be a pastor and preach. Not everyone's called to be a cleaner or work with children or do whatever. A hand is not called to be a foot. Okay? An eye is not called to be a mouth. It's just the way it is. We are called, we're all different. God's got a big sense of humor because he created each and every one of us all different. Some of you, he's got a really big sense of humor on. Just, you know, look in the mirror in the morning, you'd be, you know. Anyway, sorry. But God is so special, he created us so special that we're all individuals. But we all have a special work. I want to read you a very cute short story here. By Brother Tony Cook. Now, I thought it's pretty fitting because we are working on the building. And so this is actually called Tension in the Toolbox. Now, pay close attention here. At first, they were glad just to have been selected. There were other tools that the carpenter could have chosen. And the tools were pleased that he, a master craftsman, had picked them. But they quickly forgot their initial joy and began to focus on each other. With this, they began to be bothered became irritated with each other. One by one, each tool began to dwell on the shortcomings and faults of the other tools. No one was exempt from this critical and demeaning evaluation of the others. The hammer overheard the others saying that he was hard and noisy and that he lacked sensitivity and tact. The screwdriver was not immune from the criticism either. He's too rigid. And has no flexibility, they said. Besides, he never does anything except go round in circles. The screwdriver was quick to point out that the drill and his family of little bits also go around in circles. And they're also loud and tremendously boring. Just then, the saw, who was agreeing with the circumstances, came under fire as well. The others said that they didn't mind a little change now and then. But every time he got involved, all he wanted to do was cut things. And they were always deep cuts that brought division and separation. Becoming defensive, the saw immediately noted that everyone already knew about the sandpaper. He's rough and abrasive, and he's always rubs everyone the wrong way. The plane, was pointed out, had to be pushed to do any work. And when he did not work, what he accomplished was just fairly superficial. The ruler was next. It was observed that he was always measuring everyone against himself. He obviously felt like he was the standard or something like that. In the same breath, he also criticized the level. If the ruler wasn't judgmental enough, they said, the level is just as exacting and just as legalistic. The pliers were criticized for always putting pressure on things. Even the pencil got picked on. He's so small, he always seems to get lost. You can't find him when you need him. And when he is found, he's often dull. And sometimes he even breaks under pressure. He's always having to get sharpened. The toolbox now was a place of strife and division. The various tools were feeling offended, unappreciated, insecure, and defensive. Each felt a need to validate itself. Just then, the carpenter came in and began to use each of the tools. He had a special project to complete. And he saw the value and potential in every one of them. The master craftsman was aware of each tool's limitations and shortcomings, but he focused on what they could do and what they could accomplish. He didn't try to use a pencil like the hammer, nor did he try to use the screwdriver like the sandpaper. He used each one skillfully and proficiently according to its perfect design. As he held and used all the tools, they no longer focused on the shortcomings of others. Rather, they saw the value that each of them passed and began to appreciate the contribution that each of them made. They became secure in their own worth and began to celebrate their mutual collective contributions to the successful completion of the carpenter's project. In addition to recalling the original joy that they had been selected, now they were experiencing the great delight of being useful in the hands of the master craftsman. Instead of being irritated and putting each other down, they now recognize that others who are different, has an essential part to play. Each tool was grateful for their own contribution, but they now realize that it took several tools with unique strengths to get the job well done. That's a cute little story. See, the thing is that sometimes we can get like that. The whole time I'm reading that, I'm only thinking about Bob the Builder and all the tools talking to each other. But we can get like that sometimes. You know, this person's doing this person's doing that. Okay, that's fine. But each and every one of us has been designed for a specific job. We all have a part to play. We all have a job. Everybody that loves Jesus and everybody that has a relationship with the Father, everybody that became a part of the body of Christ has a very crucial role to play in that. Are you listening to me? We all have a job to do. There's no little jobs in the kingdom. And sometimes people tend to, oh, I'm not up there preaching, I just mop the floors, you know, I'm not important. No, you're vitally important. It's easy sometimes to look at others and judge or envy or want what others have or wish you had their life or their job or et cetera. And the same can be said in ministry as well. But we all have to realize, like that scripture says, we all have a special work. You all have a special work. In Corinthians chapter 12, we see the spiritual gifts listed out. And in that chapter, it's even explained that not everybody has the same spiritual giftings. You see, there's no good for me, you know, to look at brother Ed Van Voort here and for me to want to be a lawyer, okay? Because I would be the absolute worst lawyer. I would get myself thrown in jail, okay? Like, I wouldn't be able to do nothing. But this guy has the gifting to be a very successful lawyer, right? You know? And so for me to go and do that job, it just wouldn't work. I would be the absolute worst, you know. They'd make a TV series about it, and it would make money because it would be hilarious because that's how bad it would be, you know. But you got Brother Ed here who is blessed and who is able to do that job and do it very well and be able to help others because that is his special work and the things that he can do. You know, he was blessed with that job. He was blessed with the abilities to do that, you know. And that's exciting to know what God has done. That's like, you know, we got carpenters. Brother Joe Romeo here, he's one of our ushers in our church, and he's also a fantastic carpenter. He can swing a hammer like there's no tomorrow, okay? Just don't be on the receiving end of that sucker, okay? You know? Yeah, don't hit your thumb. You know, fingers disappear. But you see, once again, he was blessed with that special talent, and not only is that just a carpenter in a secular context, but he also helps out the kingdom of God in many other ways as well. You see? You can do different things. And even your job that you do, you can apply those aspects and bring them over to the ministry and help out build up the kingdom with what God has blessed you with. See, it goes back and forth. You have skills. You have things. Pastor Roma, Miss Anita, you know, they're pastors, and they're here at the church. But they also help out at the local college here, and they teach people, and they teach them leadership skills and life skills and things like that. But yet, they're some of the most dynamic speakers and preachers I've ever heard in my life. Amen? And so they can use those skills of teaching and preaching that they've gotten in school and with pastors' social work background, and they can create, you know, amazing things in the community and help out. You see, Your special work is just not just to be used in church or just used in this in at work in a secular realm, but it's to be used all the time because we are all ministers. And once we become a part of the body of Christ, everything that we were given, it's just not a once in a while type thing. Every spiritual gift that was given to us need to be alive all the time in our lives so that we're using them, so that we're creating change wherever we go, so that things, you know, happen. Things are good. Things change. God uses us, opens up doors of opportunities so we can minister to people, so we can get the job done here at Faith City Church, so we can get the job done at Teen Challenge, so we can do what needs to be done and cause increase for the kingdom. Ultimately, we're all working towards the same goal. That's good. That's good. Thank you. I'm out of breath. Woo! Okay, here we go. Let me see here. Oh, I need my bag. Miss Cindy, right under that chair, there's a bag. See, I'm talking to Brother Joe. Joe doesn't know I'm going to do this, but Brother Joe, can you come here for a second, please? I need you. We're going to show off his mad carpentry skills. Joe, you can do it. I have a, he's a master carpenter, okay, journeyman. I need these two pieces of wood put together, okay? I need those two put together. Now, I'm going to show you something. Okay, there you go. Okay, can you do it? You're missing something? But you got a drill and you got wood, so you should be able to do the job, right? They are together, but can you fasten them together so they're solid? Can you do the job? Can you put them together? No. You can't. Okay. So, wait a minute. Okay. So, first of all, with your drill, what are we missing here?
A bit.
Okay. Well, here. I got a battery. Let's put that in and see what happens. All right. Okay. So, now, here we go. We have a, we need something built. We have two pieces of board. This is our end game, okay? He's going to have these two pieces of board put together. Now, he has the materials that he needs to put this together. He has power now in the drill, okay? What else do you need?
One small part.
You need a small part? What's that? You need a bit. Okay, let's see what we got in here. Bit! Oh, here you go. Okay, hey, here, I got a bit for you. Look at that thing. That's a nice one. I'll never see it again. Okay. All right, so now, can you get those two pieces of wood together, Joe?
No.
Why can't we get those pieces of wood together, Joe? What are we missing? We need something to fasten it, so we're still missing another component. Now, are you seeing what's happening here? You see, we have a job that we need to get done, but we can't do it when all the components aren't there and everything is not working together for a common goal. Joe, I believe you need some of these. A couple screws. Isn't that Joe always screwing around here, man? What's going on? Okay. All right, let's see. So what happens when you put it together? Let's see. Let's see. Put, can you put those together for me? You'll try? See? Something is happening. All right. It's a little slow, but it's working. Sometimes we are a little slow. Yep, let's see. Now look what happened.
I screwed it to the floor.
He screwed it to the floor. We now have a new platform. Now look, give Joe a big hand. You see, we all play an important part in the kingdom of God. Now, the pieces and the components are all there. But if they're not together and not working in harmony and not allowing, now Joe, don't let this go to your head, but we don't allow God to put it all together and work through us, the job will not get done. So Joe acted as, you know, putting everything together, making sure everything fitted together, making sure, you know, that, yeah, the screws were there, we had all this. All the pieces were there. But now I had them in a bag. I had them hid. See, a lot of times we hide our skills. We hide our components that we need from a church or from wherever so things can't get done properly. But you know, it's vitally important that each and every one of us are a contributing factor so that now we have a beautiful, bigger block of wood. This is a glorified doorstop, and we're going to sell this in the word shop for $100,000. Okay? All right, sold? Perfect. All right, see that? Okay, we're going to start the bidding off. Okay. So, we all have a vital, important part to play. Some of you might be a battery. Some more you might be a screwdriver, a drill. Some more you might be a screw. You know, some more you might be a bit. You know, just some. We all got a part to play in this. Are you following me? Did you find 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Good. I think I did too. Yeah, here it is. Verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your questions about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray, swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. So even here in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, in this chapter, we see here that yes, not everybody has the same gifting, but the same job. But we all have a job, and it was all ordained by the Father. Woo! Verse 6 here, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. See? Ooh. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other out. Now, you notice that it's not to edify ourselves, to build our own selves up, but to help others. It says right here in Scripture. You know, yes, it does something for us when we're doing something, but the ultimate goal is to help others. Selflessness. Isn't that cool? Here we go. Let's see. Where are we? A special gift is given to each of us so we can help out others. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, the human body is made up of many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. And so, it is this, the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by the Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body, because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if an ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that not make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body was in here, how would you smell anything? It's a good question. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Just the way that God has put all of our bodies of our, or our parts of our body where it needs to be, He's placed you in places where you need to be in the body of Christ. How strange a body would be if you look at one part and say, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. My abs should not be seen, so they are protected. Okay? They're in protective custody right now. What are y'all laughing at? Y'all just jealous. Anybody can have a six pack. A real man got a keg. Anyway. Give it up. This is church. What are y'all talking about? Well, the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that the extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity, like my abs. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. And if one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed in the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gifts of healing, those who help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? No. Camera operator is. Are we all prophets? No. Are we all teachers? No. Do we all have the power to do miracles? No. Do we all have the gift of healing? No. Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Now, there's some variances in this to where we can all be baptized and we all can speak. But we're talking about these special gifts. Right? Don't get them mixed up. These are the ministry gifts. Yes. Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Well, if you're listening to me this morning, congratulations. You can understand the Newfie. And that is an unknown language right there. So you all have that gift. Congratulations. Okay. That's funny. What verse am I at, Pastor Dave? I don't even... 30. Thank you. Pastor Dave's voice got really high. Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not, unless you're listening to Newfie. Then you might be able to. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you the way that is best for all. So like I had already said, not everybody has the same calling. Not everybody has the same abilities. But we all have a ability or some abilities. We are all different. We can all do something. We are all ministers for the gospel. We are not just, you know, helpers or just this, just a drummer, just a guitar player, you know, just a janitor, just a whatever. But you are a minister. You are a helps minister, okay? You help us so that the church can do what needs to be done. This morning on my way to church, my truck broke down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, that's what I said. It's parked in Robbie's driveway right now. So it's a Ford. Found on Robbie's driveway. But one small component has caused this mighty machine. Y'all shut up making fun of my Ford. Made this mighty machine not work the way that it was designed to, with all that crazy amount of horsepower and torque. I mean, you just put that hammer down and man, she'll just melt the tires off that sucker. You know what I'm just saying? Yeah, right, it's a Ford. I don't kid myself. Anyway. But anyhow. One component has caused that truck not to do what it needs to do. Instead, it made me get out and start walking. So I had a good cardio workout before I even got to church this morning. Got the blood pumping. Then I was rescued by Pastor Dave. Amen? And he had that big greasy grin on his face because he's a big Chev lover. But we will pray for deliverance for him as well. So, but that one component in my truck that's given out, and it's given up the ghost, well, it will be changed, and we will overcome, and we will come back stronger and better than ever. But, you see, when that one little component decided, I'm not going to do my job anymore. Nope, I quit. I'm done. Well, then the whole unit came to a crashing halt in the middle of the highway. Yes, the middle of the highway. It was interesting. Trust me. Anyway. And the whole thing just stopped right there in the middle of the highway. There's nothing I could do about it. Okay? So the same thing is here. If we choose, you know what? I am not going to help out in the church anymore. I'm not going to help out in the body of Christ anymore. I'm done. I call it quits. What if pastor just decided, I quit. Just like that. I'm done. I'd return him back to the Ford dealership and ask to get it replaced. No. No. Pastor, he can't do that. As much as he'd like to, he can't do that. You know? Because, no, he has a specific plan. He's a vital part in this organization. Amen? But now, he's a senior pastor, but guess what? You know who else is vital to this organization? Each and every one of us. Because if there's only a pastor up here, and there's no one out here, you know, there's a bunch of empty seats. We got the lights on and everything on and burning electricity, and just pastor standing here. No, that's no good. But you see, there's teaching going forth, and there's preaching going forth, and there's learning, and there's growth. There's also, you see all those helpers that walked out when we dismissed the kids? They're vital. You see those children? They're vital. All those people that are standing back there in the back, they're just not playing on their iPhones, I promise. But they're actually doing something back there. You know? They're making sure that the sound booth doesn't blow away. No. They're back there working, and they're making sure that we sound good, and that the invariants back there working the cameras and stuff, and look at these camera operators and spreading the gospel all around this globe right from here. That's vital. So don't tell me that your job's not important. What if we keep coming in? Someone was here because there was a mess here on Friday, and Saturday, the mess got cleaned up. We walked in here today, and it is clean because someone is vital to make sure that the place of God, the house of God, is clean and that it's nice for people to come into. You know? If you're going to scrub toilets, you scrub it because you're doing it unto the glory of God. Come on now. And you know what? There's been many times I've come in here and I've mopped the floors and I've swept the floors and I've vacuumed the floors. And, you know, I'm here with Riel. If you want to work out, you work with Riel Gagne. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to lose 50 pounds before this week is over. I'm telling you. Okay? I might have a six-pack after this. All right. But if you want to do work, man, I'm not afraid to roll up my sleeves and do whatever needs to be done. Because I know that I'm not doing it for people, but I'm doing it unto God. And you see, this is when we're doing something. We're not necessarily doing it unto people, but we're doing it to serve the Lord so that we can come together as a unit, as a one body, as something that's fantastic, as a body of Christ, and we're able to spread the gospel because ultimately that is the end game, is souls. Make it hard for people to go to hell in the city of Thunder Bay. Ooh. All right. Page 75. Here's our last part of our scripture verse that we've been looking at. It helps that the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So let's go back to Ephesians 4:16 was our text. Throw that back up there for me there, Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave and his Ford recovery vehicle helped us out today. The last part there. It helps when the other parts grow. Okay, so here we go. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is our last point here. This is the last thing we need to look at. It helps when other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. When we are doing our part in the body, we are helping out the entire unit. In the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 10 to 13. Now, this is going to be very cool here because I want to show you guys this here. And actually, if I can have one of our ushers grab me two chairs. You're getting lots of illustrations this morning. Is that okay? You like this? I need an usher and I need two chairs. Okay. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So the hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. You see, Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses, and the Hebrews won that battle because some people decided to work in their place and in their position. In the New Testament, we see Paul mentoring a young pastor, a young man by the name of Timothy, who became a very great church leader. Paul was doing his job in helping a young man grow because it was a vital part of the kingdom of God. You see, our point here is that when, in 4:16, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You see, when we're working together, when Paul was working, he helped Timothy grow to help increase the church. When Moses was sat down, had his arms over his head, Aaron and Hur came and helped them so that they could defeat the enemy. Come on now. Now, you see, we have a very important job to do here as well. In Acts chapter 6, we see what happens when people do their jobs and the church begins to grow. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food." So here's what happened. So the 12 called a meeting to the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program." And so the brothers select 7 men who are well respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. And we gave them this responsibility. And then the apostles can spend their time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. The church grew because somebody stepped up to the plate and did their job and acted as ministers. Isn't that interesting? You might say, "Well, Pastor Steve, what are you doing with 2 chairs?" I want to show you something here this morning. Pastor, I hate picking on you, but can you and your wife come here for a second? I want both of you guys to come here because you're going to see something here this morning. Miss Cindy, I need your help as well. Miss Kathy, I need you. Okay, we need these hockey sticks. Things just got exciting. Okay? All right. So, all right. Boston versus the Leafs. No. I want to show you something. You stand over on that side. Nathan, I need you up here too, brother. Pastor Dave, get up here. Pastor Dave, get off that computer. I need you up here. I want to show you guys something here. This is going to be very interesting. Pastor Corey, I need you up here as well. Okay. Now, as Aaron and Hur, they were acting and doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were helping somebody out, right? As the leaders of this church, I got the hockey sticks, so I just thought it was a cool touch because we're such a hockey church here. Pastor, that one's yours. Miss Anita, this is yours. I want you to put these up over your head. Stretch them up. Raise up the staff over your head. There you go, like that. Now look, as our leaders, these guys are holding the staff and the burden of this church. Now it's up to us to come along and help them out, because it's going to get heavy. It's going to get, because all this weight's going to come on them. Okay? All this weight's going to get, and it's going to get heavy. But see, we have staff members. We have people that are going to come over here, going to hold up your arms so that they can carry that load. And I can crowd dive. No, I'm joking. And they're going to hold up our leaders' hands. And you see, now this is a representation of all of us here at this church. Because we are all going to get behind our church leaders, our senior pastors. We're all going to do what needs to be done so that when the battle is raging, because we go through battles here at the church, but when the situation is rough, we're going to hold up our pastor's arms. We're going to support them no matter what the situation. You see this? And we're going to stand behind these guys as a team, and we're going to carry the burden together. We're going to make sure that Faith City Church is going to be successful, that us ministers are going to go out, and we're going to change the world. We're going to change the atmosphere, because we're going to do what needs to be done. We're going to hold up our leaders' hands. We're going to create change. Amen? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So as you can see, he's ticklish. You should tickle him. No. But as you can see here, this is very powerful because we're making a declaration this morning that we're committing to do what needs to be done. That we are ministers. Every person in this church is a minister. I don't care if you mop the floors, if you crawl in the nursery, if you're doing sound, if you're singing. You all have a job to do. Now, we're not called the warm seats. We're not called the warm pews. Scripture says, go ye. You got to get up and go. Not sit down. We all have a job to play. And this is a very busy church, and there's lots of areas to get involved in. Are your arms tired? No? We know who's going to the gym regular. See, we're doing a good job. Men, support that pastor. Make sure his arms aren't tired. And you see what? His arms are heavier. I got something that's heavier too. But isn't that interesting to see? You can put your arms down now. Let's give our actors a great job. Thank you, Pastor and Miss Anita. Thank you, guys. Is that Chara skating out through there? No. So, you've had a few illustrations. You've had some humor. You had a newfie get up and talk to you. That's bad enough, but anyway. But hopefully you got something out of this. Because don't ever belittle yourself. Don't ever feel like you're inadequate or you're not doing. You are a minister. God designed us. Even from the moment we became born again, we were given the ministry of reconciliation to bring people back onto the Father. We were already given that ministry. We all have that. But we also got a part to play. We also have a job to play. And just not a sometime job, an all-time job. This is a full-time job, this Christian stuff, living for God. This is just not something we do on Sundays and on Wednesdays. But this is actually a lifestyle. Every day, we're growing, we're developing, we're learning. And you see, we're an intricate part to get the job done so we can do something. Amen? Can I get the worship team back? Hopefully you got something out of that this morning. Just remember this. That every joint supplies. Everybody in the kingdom of God has a supply, has a special work, the New Living Translation says. The King James Version says every joint supplies. We all have something that we can bring. We all have something that we can do. So, no excuse to sit idle. Jesus never sat idle. There's lots going on all the time. There's ways that we can get involved. Everyone stand on your feet. Well, I know it's a little different service than what Wednesday was. But I think it's just as important to talk about these subjects as helps ministry and stuff like that. Because without helps ministry, without helps ministers, there wouldn't be a church. So I commend each and every one of you for helping out, for those of you that are helping and doing stuff. We thank you. You're vital. You're super important. You are a huge blessing to the kingdom of God. I know just here at our local church, right here at Faith City Church, every one of you that help out and that does something here, you mean the world to us. You really do. All you camera operators and all you singers and musicians, all of our tech people, ushers, greeters, hospitality, every area, children's workers, everybody, cleaners, everybody. People that help out with special events, everybody that helps out. You are vital and you are so important and we are blessed. We are blessed to have you on our team. But there's lots of room for more. The kingdom of God is a big working unit. And there's lots of jobs and there's lots of things to do. Ask yourself this morning, well, what can I do? Lord, I want to do something. Get involved. Now, I never like to close a service without doing this, but if you're in this place and you need Jesus, you say, well, Pastor Steve, you know what? I really don't know Jesus that well. My relationship with him is kind of drawn away. I've never actually accepted him to be my Lord and personal Savior. But I want to get on the right path. I want to start walking in that direction. I want to start helping out. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to be part of that body, that fellowship, that family. I want to start doing something so great things can happen. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Nobody looking around. No one looking around. Close your eyes. If you're in this place and you need to get back on track with God, or you want to have that relationship with him, you've never had it before. If that's you, and you hear in the sound of my voice, even you in TV land, if that's you, I want you to raise up your hand right now if that's you. Thank you, thank you. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. You want to be a part of this kingdom, a part of this unit, a part of this family. Come on. If that's you, this is a great opportunity, a great morning to do that. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're all going to say a prayer together, and we're all going to believe. And if you say that prayer and you mean it, I want you to come talk to me or talk to Pastor Dave or one of the other pastors here. And we got something we want to give to you. So everyone together, repeat after me. Say, Father, today I choose to follow you. I give you my heart, all of me. I want to follow you, Lord. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I choose to follow you. Do your will. Follow your call. I love you. I worship you. And I thank you for all your blessings upon my life. I choose today to never be the same and live for you, Lord. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, there's a huge party going on in heaven right now. And you know what? We're going to have a huge party here right now. Let's just thank the Lord for what he's just done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for lives being changed, Lord. We thank you for that this whole thing coming together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's it. Pastor, you got anything? No? Well, hopefully you got something. Remember, you all have a special work. Have a blessed week. We love you. We'll see you back here on Wednesday. Remember, if you can help out this week, let us know. God bless. Oh, yeah, and all you guests that are here, don't forget to go out to the guest room. If you're not sure what it is, ask an usher. Come meet the staff. We're so glad you're all here.